an awesome God. We serve a good God. You know, sometimes if you look around and listen to folks in this world, they'll tell you there's nothing good in this world. They'll tell you that, you know. And all these things are true, but as Christians, we should have a different outlook on things. We ought to be glad that we are named among the children of God by obedience. We ought to thank God every day that he's given us this opportunity. Now, that's not to say that we minimize our problems or we don't have issues, because all of us do. But we need to really understand that no matter what, our blessings always outweigh anything else that we deal with. But definitely good this morning, definitely good. And y'all know I'm kind of silly, right? Yeah, I failed to mention too as well. Continue to keep Brother Grady. I'm going to mention it in his prayers anyway. He's suffering with a bad chicken wing. So, as I like to say, him and Lewis got a little issue with not on his head, but that comes from not doing the chores. That's what happens when you don't do your chores on time. You know, wife has to tighten up on you a little bit. So, Brother Grady got put in the chicken wing, and Lewis got popped upside the head. But no, just pray for them as well, because I know they're struggling with some things. I failed to mention earlier, so we all sometimes forget. I forgot, just like John did, to mention those. So we definitely pray that they'll have a speedy recovery for whatever they're dealing with as well. Subject title: For Such a Time as This. As I was thinking about the upcoming year, and as I was trying to get us to focus in an area or focus forward, looking forward to a new year, for some reason, this particular passage just kept coming to me. As we look at our society and we look at all the things that we consider normal, aren't normal anymore. You look at things that we took for granted, like gathering with family over the holidays, things that we take for granted, like going out and enjoying a meal, things that we take for granted, like just normal routine stuff we take for granted, and you look at the world, and the world just seems to be lost with no direction. The world seems to be going, instead of moving towards God, they're moving further away from God than they ever have been before. You know, and those other institutions, which we'll talk about that in my series of lessons I'm going to start today, that they once depended on and looked for to solve their problems, guess what? They're not the answer to the problem. I spoke briefly last week at the memorial service about King Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 23, and the message for the audience was, don't you think it's time to tear your idols down? Don't you think it's time to tear your idols down? He had a very strategic and very godly plan for returning Israel back to God. He first read the word of God. The reading of God's word caused them to examine themselves and the idols in their life. And then he made a decision to destroy them, burn them all the way down to pulp. So that at that point in time, we know the story of Israel, they didn't stay that way. But at least King Josiah was a good man who was concerned about dealing with idols to God. So as we're approaching this year, to get us to focus on some things, I think one of the things that when we have times like this, we oftentimes focus on the wrong things. You oftentimes focus on the bad, but I want us to think about what a great opportunity it is right now to evangelize the world. Amen. There are so many people looking for something other than what they have in this world. They've already seen this, but it's already been shown that whatever they place their confidence in, they can't trust anymore. Whether it be jobs or people are leaving this world, and they would still be leaving this world if we were not fighting COVID. So, but just think about the jobs lost and the things that our folks are dealing with, and the loss of, as many folks say, their freedoms, the loss of, you know, the things they love to do, and it's really, really driving some people crazy. But maybe, just maybe, God is wanting us to examine the idols in our life. Maybe, just maybe, just because we serve a jealous God and God means what he says, when he says, you should have no other gods before me, maybe, just maybe, that's why he hadn't turned us loose yet. Maybe, just maybe, that's why it doesn't seem like things are getting better, because guess what? Not people in here, But people as a general, we just not getting it. We just not getting it. We're just like Israel. Instead of returning to God, they begin to curse God. And we see even after times of exile, which we're going to look at in the book of Esther, people still wasn't acting right. God did so many things with them, delivered them twice, according to the Old Testament, out of bondage from Babylon. And guess what? They were happy for a little while, and they went right back to doing the things they shouldn't do. So I wonder if maybe this is how God's looking at us. He knows us better than anybody. Maybe, just maybe, he's like, you know what, these people, I'm trying to get them to turn their lives around and trying to get them to focus on me, but I already know what's going to happen if I answer the prayers. They're going to go right back to the things they ought not be doing. But I want us to look at something, because as Christians, we should look at this from a different perspective. Turn with me to Esther chapter 14. Excuse me, Esther chapter 4. Many of you know it's a passage, and knowing some of you as well as I do, I know some of you, this is your favorite book in the Bible, so we're going to learn some things. I'm going to spend about 4 or 5 weeks in the book of Esther, learning lessons from the book of Esther. Esther chapter 4, if you lost, you come before Job. So if you get to Job, you went too far. The book right before Job. So let's look at what it says beginning. We'll begin at verse number 12 and read down through verse number 17. And it reads as such. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then thy enlargement and deliveries arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such as a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maids will fast likewise. And so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Subject title for my series of lessons to begin this new year out: "For such a time as this." Welcome to 2021. I don't know how many posts and whatever we just talked about. Just everybody seems like they wanted 2020 over. But just because we're in a new calendar year doesn't mean that things gonna change. You know, that's what folks are looking for. Most folks look at this time of year, they're so glad that the new year is upon us. You know, this year brought many joys and pains, but also many blessings to many folks. But most at this time of year look to refresh some things in their life. Is there anything wrong with that? No. But I think we oftentimes look to refresh in the wrong areas. Most folks don't look to refresh spiritually. They'll make all kind of resolutions and leave God out of them. Now, some of the resolutions that folks make, and they're great, and all those great things, it's great to set goals. But if you have not spent time in prayer, if you have not decided to put God first and make your plans according to him, we're going at it the wrong way. And it's sad because many Christians are named in this particular group. We're numbered among the rest of them with this. You know, this new year, I want a new job. I want more money. I want to do this. And that's nothing wrong with that per se. But oh my goodness, have you decided to take God into 2021 with you? Maybe that was the problem. God got tired of being left out of folks' resolutions. Maybe God is like, "Hey, look, I'm here. I'm here for you. Turn to me. All these other things are great, but they're just for this world." So we see these things going on with gold. But now let's look at the book of Esther. It's a very interesting book. There's only one or two books in which God, the name of God, is not mentioned specifically at all. Why is that? You mean to tell me it's in the Old Testament and God's name is not mentioned anywhere in here specifically? No, but ride with me for a little while. Because God shows up strongly and evidently through this book, but he does it in providential means. What do I mean by that? You know, oftentimes we are looking for miracles, and there's nothing wrong. We still serve a God who can do miracles and not even bat an eye. I'm not saying that there's anything, but we oftentimes look at the fact that God wants us to live everyday lives that we are able to see not only blessings, but opportunities to serve it. How many times over the last year, this is just you reflecting personally, me, myself as well, have we had opportunities to tell somebody about Christ and we kept silent? Now, I'm going to throw something else at you. I'm not trying to leave you in a somber mood, but I'm trying to think. Those same people that you failed to tell Christ about, how many of them are still living to see 2021? You know there's some in your life and person. We know some folks that were here this year, that were here this time last year, that are not here this year. And we had good plans, but something kept us from doing it. Why? Why did it happen? Something kept us away from doing that. Why do you think that is? What happened? Maybe, just maybe, God has you here for such a time as this. God is always involved in the everyday affairs of his people. We oftentimes don't even see God working in our lives through natural means. But I think if we change our mindset a little bit, we'll realize that this is a great time to tell folks about Jesus. What's happening is the opposite. What's happening is we're focusing on things that have nothing to do with Christ and putting them in the forefront. Should we be doing that, being the Lord's body? Absolutely not. We should be singing the praises of Christ more than ever before. This is what we should be. This is our responsibility. And it's not a problem. There's nothing wrong with being involved in other parts, civic organizations, even politics. But should we concentrate on that more than serving Christ? Absolutely not. And God is saying, wait a minute. My body, my family, blood of my blood, flesh of my flesh, my spiritual body. You are here for such a time as this. Not to be caught up in what the world is getting caught up in. We have Christians who are more depressed, more discouraged, show more hatred and everything else than the world does. And the world looks at us like we crazy. Because we're supposed to understand what it means to love. We're supposed to be able to understand that the gospel is for everybody. Maybe, just maybe, learn some lessons from Esther can help us refocus. Godly providence, as I said before, providence is God working through natural means. To what? Answer prayers, fight our battles, protect us and bless us. We must learn to view things through our spiritual eyes in life. And that's one of the things that I think we all could do a better job of. Me, as I said before, I'm always at the front of the line. I got band-aids to pass out because I got cut up by this lesson first. That's the way it works. That's the way I look at it. I'm sitting out there with you, even though I'm giving this lesson, but oftentimes, instead of looking at things through our physical eyes in the world around us, do we decide to look at things through our spiritual eyes and God's point of view? This world is hurting for Jesus. Our communities are hurting for Jesus. Our families are hurting for Jesus. What are we spending our time doing? What are we thinking about? Most of us are just concerned about returning to maybe the way life was, or nobody bothered you. You didn't have any responsibilities. You could do what you wanted to do. But guess what? That ought not come out of a Christian's mind anyway. Oh, wait a minute, Brother Parker. You meddling now. If Christ is your Lord and Savior, he's the one who gives us our marching orders. He's the one who determines what we do each and every day. We don't live in a democracy spiritually. We serve a king who demands obedience. What about us today? So we must learn some things. Both Ezra and Nehemiah deal with the exiles who returned to Jerusalem from Babylon. The book of Esther deals with the ordeals of a woman named Esther, a woman of God who was prepared to save her nation, who allowed God to use her for his eternal purpose, who also sets an example of godly providence working in our lives. Esther's a very good example of that, of how she realized that God had placed her. I'm going to dwell on this word for my series of lessons, in a unique situation to do some great things for God. Do we ever look at our situation in our lives as being unique? What do you mean by that, Brother Parker? I'm saying there are some folks that only you talk to. There are some folks that only you can reach. There are some situations that are just made for you, but they're made for you so that you can serve the Master. We are so busy wondering and looking over our neighbor's fence and the neighbor's yard and wanting our situation to be like theirs, that we miss the point. That maybe, just maybe, you are here where you are for such a time as this. So we're going to look at it. I'm going to give you 3 points, overarching points of my lesson. This is just an overview, and then I'll bring it to a close today, and then we'll go more in detail in the next few weeks. Overview of lessons from Esther. Number one, you're going to see through this lesson the importance of preparing for opportunities. Esther also went through a time of preparation. Turn me to Esther chapter 2. I'm going to begin at verse number 9. And I'm going to stop at number 17. And it reads as such. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, 7 maidens, which were meet to give unto her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the woman's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now when every maid's turn was come to the king of Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of the purification, accomplished to wit 6 months of oil of myrrh and 6 months of oil of odors and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden to the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. And in the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women to the custody of Shahazagaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came unto a king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she was called by name. Now pause right here. That was a purification period of 12 months to be able to go before the king and carry out their duties. When you think about preparing for opportunities, I'm reminded of something like a cocoon. I know the cocoon is in nature, right? You know, that caterpillar goes into a cocoon, and that's just one of God's everyday miracles sometimes we look over. And how in the world does an animal pretty much, somehow in its DNA, change to a different form? But before you say, well, how in the world is that possible, I want you to think about what God has done in our lives, how we became alive spiritually. That same transformation happens. We're going to go into detail in one of my lessons on this about how it's important. God always sets a time of preparation as we attempt to grow from faith to faith. That time of preparation is oftentimes uncomfortable because we're called on to wait. We want things the way we want them. We want them right then, and we want them right now, and maybe we don't realize that we're here for such a time as this. God could be preparing you for something on down the road that you don't even understand yet. You ain't even coming to yet. Some of our trials and tribulations that we go through, that some of the pains that we deal with, God is going to use them somehow to not only bless you, but bless others. But we don't want to go through it because we are selfish people. We are self-centered people. We want what we want right now. God don't give it to us. And guess what, God? I don't want to deal with you no more. We lose sight of the focus that oftentimes we're in a phase of preparation. It does not always look like a time of preparation in our lives, and that's the problem. Because I said that time of preparation could be just going through some of the trials and tribulations of life. You ever wondered this question? Why, God, why? You may not get that answer right then, but you may get it by and by. I've been that way several times in my life. Wondering, God, why am I going through this? Only to see why years and sometimes decades later. And then I can look back in my own life and see how God's hand was on me the whole entire time. Now, church, that's awesome. That's awesome. What he wants us to do is to realize, just like he does when I listen to Esther, to realize that he's not going to leave us. To realize he does what he does for a reason, for such a time as this. So it doesn't always look like it. And that's what we struggle with. Preparation. Think about this now. Always precedes opportunities of God. No preparation, no opportunity. God's preparation process also includes prayer. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. We sometimes don't realize that our prayer life is part of the preparation process in our lives. That's how important prayer is. It could be prepping us. It could be, as some folks, priming a pump, or some folks say, tilling the ground, so to speak, using the everyday terms that a farmer may use. Study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved, to be approved of all men. We have everything we need. What often happens during times of preparation, the times of unknown certainty, the last thing we pick up is this. We pick up everything else. We listen to everybody else. We listen to friends. We listen to the news. We listen to everything else but God. But God. Maybe you're here for such a time as this. And then, just to know, make sure you're prepared, he provides a hands-on experience so that you can get a little bit of experience under your belt. You sometimes don't think about it in your spiritual walk with God, but there are some situations where God gave you a glimpse, allowed you to experience a little bit of something you may have to deal with later on. You know, we got that mindset today. We got that mindset in the world of medicine and vaccines and flu vaccines and all that stuff. You know what happens with a flu vaccine? And I'm not a biologist by any means, so if somebody need to correct me and I'll get it straight. But I think they put a little bit of dead virus in you so your body can build up some immunity to it. Man, you like, if I took the flu shot, that's what I got. But the purpose is to make your immune system strong enough so that you can fight off the real thing. I think God does that a lot in our lives. I think God gives us a little bit of this so that we can fight off something stronger down the road. This is what he does. So he provides a hands-on experience. Number two, we must train our mind and spirit to recognize opportunities. And oftentimes they come about like this. Doing the right thing at the right place and at the right time. Translated, just live godly every day. Decide to live godly every day of your life. And what will happen is you'll begin to see things with your spiritual eyes. Your spiritual vision will become clear as possible. And instead of looking at everything as obstacles, we'll begin to look at things as opportunities. Because we see things differently, we should, than the world. We have another set of eyes that we ought to be looking at things through the world through. When are we going to start doing that so that we can please God? When are we going to focus on souls instead of everything else in the world? Because in the end, it's all that matters. Esther was in a unique position to help her people and carry out God's will. And you say, why did he choose Esther? We don't know. But there was something in Esther, in her character, in her personality, that allowed her to be used by God for that particular purpose. She didn't understand it if you read the beginning of the book. She was just trying to survive. And it wasn't always pleasant and fun for her. And it was dangerous because she had just said in verse 15 and 16, in chapter 4, if I perish, I perish. But what happened? She realized that maybe she was chosen by God specifically for that particular task at that particular time. God has chosen each and every one of you for a particular task at a particular time. Nobody else can fill it. Nobody else can do it. We oftentimes want to push that responsibility on everybody else. God has a plan for each and every member of his body of Christ. It is not going to be like your neighbors. It's not going to be like brother so-and-so. It's not going to be like sister so-and-so. So that word unique means that he is crafting something. He is devising something through providence and through his hand guiding that only you can feel. That's why he adds us to the body. Members in particular, we're not here just to warm pews. We're here to go back out in the world and bring lost souls to Christ. We're here because we can reach certain people. We're here because he has a specific thing for each and every person to do. Just like Esther. God places us in unique circumstances for the same reason. We oftentimes look around, as I said before, I'm like, why my situation, why my life not looking like everybody else's? What's wrong with me? Then you start thinking something's wrong with you. Maybe just not. Maybe you're here for such a time as this. God knows what he's doing, just like he did with Esther. We must always be alert to opportunities placed before us by God's providence. As we grow spiritually, we should be able to see God in mundane things in life as well. And when that begins to happen, church family, this will truly humble your heart. When you do. When you do this and you grow to the point where you see these things, there will be no doubt that God is involved in the everyday affairs of men. You will be able to see through your spiritual eye that he was with you all along, even when you thought he wasn't. He was working things out for you before you even got to the next problem that you went through. And what does that do? You'll see that he was using your situations, your circumstances, your trials and tribulations specifically and uniquely for his purpose only. For such a time as this. We need to answer this call, the same call that Esther did. And the last one we'll cover is we must be willing to take risks for God. Esther's actions for Israel placed her life in real danger. You don't think she knew it? I just said, she says, I'm going to the king, and if I perish, I perish. She knew that was a chance that she wasn't coming back. She knew that was a chance that her life would be lost. But who did she place her trust in? It was in God. Who did she place her life in, life's hands in? It was God. Who do you trust in your life? Whose life holds your hands? You may say, my mama, my husband, my wife, wrong person. Wrong person. Because God is using them in a unique way as well. What about us? Are we willing to step out on faith and do great things for God? The time has been past for us to do it. The time has been past. We sometimes get so stuck in our rut and safety net that we never, ever venture out and decide to walk on water for Jesus. That's a problem, church. You may say, no, that's the safe ground. Something like we can always come up with 99 reasons what bad could happen. But if that's all you focus on, you will never accomplish or experience anything great in your life. If that's all you focused on. What about this could happen? What about that could happen? That's the life of somebody who's not trusted in God. That's what that is. Because if you're trusted in God, you know that he's bigger than what could happen, what might happen, what can happen, or what can't happen. That's evidence that you're weak in your faith. And we can call it what we want to. We can call it playing it safe. We can call it using common, we can call it exactly what we want to and give it a nice little suit and tie and bring it to church with you on Sunday. But when it all boils down to it, who do you trust? Are we willing to put our lives at risk for the master? And church, that's needed even more today than at any time on my little short 49 plus years that I've been on this earth. Some of you been a lot longer and experienced a whole lot of things that I have, but oh my goodness, we are here for such a time as this. We need to come out of our shells. We need to stop being afraid. We need to stop being afraid that we'll lose friends because we're standing up for Jesus. We need to stop being afraid that maybe folks won't like us anymore because we have the courage to call sin, sinful things, sinful things. We need to stop running and hiding when Christ says, "Will you stand with me?" What about us today? We are here for such a time as this. Esther, she was no different than you and I was. She just saw an opportunity. She laid the fact that, yes, there are going to be some dangers, but I'm going to serve God, even if it costs me my life. If we, more of us Christians, had that mindset in this world, we wouldn't be in the shape we're in right now. Now, I'm not saying it's going to solve all the problems, because we know Satan, he's the ruler of this, he's the god of this world with a little g. Bible tells us that. So he has all the influence, all the other things, all the organizations, all those things, Satan is behind them all. Make no mistake about it. If not, he wouldn't have made Christ those promises in Matthew chapter 4 when he promised him all the kingdoms of the world. Because if Christ would have accepted it, Satan would have kept his part of it, but it would have been the Christ's destruction. So we know he's very powerful, but he's not all powerful. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. As we approach the new year, yes, it's scary. Yes, there's some dangers. But maybe we're here for such a time as this. You're going to have to get out your comfort zone. Something that's the last thing somebody want to do. But that's also why we fail to carry out God's mission today. This is the main reason why so many are weak in the faith today. Let me say that again, because we don't trust God and we're worried about other things than serving God. That's one of the reasons why our faith is not growing today. God is constantly trying to move and move us in our lives. But what do? We do like a child, you know, who don't want to go into the store, don't want to go in the house, go into bed. He's trying to take us to a place of rest. And while he's trying to do that, we melt down and throw a temper tantrum right there on the floor. Seen it happen before? You've seen it happen in the store. Go into Walmart sometime. When a kid don't get that toy, some of them, boy, you hear this ear-piercing scream come out, and you're like, what in the world is that? And you see a child having a complete meltdown. Now, I'm old school. That didn't happen with me, because I would have got beat all the way to the car, in the car, and all the way home. And guess what? I would have deserved it, but not now. Little Johnny, get up, please. You're embarrassing by me. What? That's what you say, and that's how you have that problem? That's a whole nother lesson in and of itself. But we do the same thing. Whatever that child was wanting, the parent had decided it was not good for him. Maybe they wanted a whole bucket of M&Ms, and the parent knows that that's not good for him. But that child is used to getting what it wants, so when it don't get what it wants, they had a meltdown. Now, think about in your own mind the last spiritual meltdown you had because God didn't give you what you thought you wanted. Because you had them. I had them. And then I look back now as I grow spiritually and look back and say, how ridiculous and how childish was I acting? Why didn't I just trust God? I didn't need that in my life. I wasn't ready for that in my life. He's in the business of praying. But we are too scared and too stubborn to follow it. We must be willing to get out of our spiritual comfort zones in order to really fulfill God's mission. And in closing, many view current times as all doom and gloom. But maybe we are here for such a time as this. If you look at it, there's always been bad times in society. There's always been countries going on in turbulence. And this is nothing new, what we're dealing with. There's even been things like pestilences before. So why are we not leading the pack and saying, we serve a God who's bigger than all this? We serve a God who's more important than all. Don't trust in him. Don't trust in whatever you trust. Don't trust in your job. Don't trust in government. But I got somebody that you can trust in who's tried and true, and that's Christ. The only rock in which there's safety. The only way that we're going to make it is through Christ. He's the only answer for this world. We become so fixated on obstacles that we fail to realize they're really opportunities. Oh my goodness, I could write a book, you probably could too as well. Those things when problems come up, and we looked at them as problems, and we threw up our hands and gave up, and walked away, and woe is me, and God is doing me bad, and I'm, what? Maybe they were just opportunities for you to grow and for God to show who he is. Maybe it's time such as this. Instead of looking at their obstacles of being and telling folks about Christ, look at his opportunities. That's the mindset I want us to go into this new year with. God is always working on the lives of, always working on the lives of his saints, but we must be willing to follow him where he leads us. For such a time as this. Read verse 14 and I'm going to close it down. Of Esther chapter 4. And it says, for if thou another altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there an enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knows, speaking everyday terms, that's what it says, whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, the kingdom today is the Lord's church, the church of Christ. Why are you in this kingdom today? I don't know. I just felt bad. I know that's something I needed. Why are you really here? What is your purpose that God has for you? First of all. Second of all, why are you afraid to trust him to put you in unique situations? Oh, no, that means I got to be by myself. Yes, it does mean that you're going to have to be by yourself for a little while. But guess what? Newsflash, you're not really by yourself. Because my Bible and yours says, Christ says he'll never leave nor forsake us. But sometimes, as I like to say, he has to drown out all the background noise so you can hear him. Sometimes he got to take away some stuff for us to really realize what's most important. That's the God that we serve. We do the same thing with raising our children. That's why we put them on punishment. That's why we ground them and stuff like that. You know, ain't nothing worse than taking away a teenager's freedom. They don't like that. You know, all whoopings and all, that's great. Now, I'm a big believer in that. But a teenager, if they can just get a whooping and go back out and hang out with their friends, they good. That little bit's over with, the little pain, they take a little Advil and keep it moving. Sometimes when you grind them, you just mess up everything because that's how they define their lives at that point in time, that social side. So when you start cutting off phones and, you know, technology and things like that, that sometimes gets their attention. But God does that to us sometimes as well for such a time as this. Maybe you're in the building and maybe you forgot why you were here. Maybe you've forgotten why God added you to the body. Maybe you've forgotten that your situation and circumstances is unique to only you. But God's going to use that for us to further the borders of his kingdom. You might be the only person that could reach somebody who needs the gospel. You might be the only person that could reach out to this particular person or family. And just doing it, as I said before, all you got to do is decide to do the right thing at the right place and at the right time and watch God work in your life. You ain't got to do nothing special. You ain't got to go looking for a signal. Just live it. That's how the door is open. That's how opportunities come upon us. You won't even think about it. He'll just start, when you're ready, start flooding your lives with opportunities to show others and yourself who he is. Because guess what? When you begin to show others, your faith is strengthened exponentially. It will make you a believer, no doubt, that God is real and that God is involved in your life. Because there are going to be some situations that you come across that you can't explain, just like Esther, that you can't really put your finger on about why these things happen, except God was in the middle of it. That's the God that we serve. That's where we need to place our focus. So as we head into 2021 and thereon, we're here for a reason. We need to get busy about figuring it out and get busy about doing the Lord's will for such a time as this. What must we do to be saved? We must hear the gospel, believe what we have heard, repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of our sins that places into Christ Jesus and that makes us new creatures. And then God starts to make you over, like it talks about in Ezekiel, when that hand, that clay in the potter's hand, he starts to remold and make you. But guess what? Sin causes us to lump up a little bit. But what does he have to do from time to time? Repentance is he melts it down and reforms it. Because he's in the business of making perfect vessels. That's a process, though. But your vessel that you call your life is going to meet a particular purpose, a unique purpose. What about us today? So if you have one desire or the other, put on Christ in baptism or request special prayer. We ask you to please come forward and sing a verse of
596.